The Dr. Tracy Show, your integrative health expert. Here to help when you log on to peaksofhealth.com. Peaksofhealth.com.
There it is. We know you're dancing because we're dancing, and it is time for the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Another great weekend here. And Dr. Tracy, how was your week?
Oh, the week was great. We had a good time.
Well, always great when we get to spend some time in the studio here. And today on the Dr. Tracy Show, we're going to be talking about a lot of things, including your sleep, helping you get sleep and how important sleep is to you. First, though, check out their website, peaksofhealth.com. I always instruct you guys and think it's a great tool for you while you're listening to the show. If you have it available on your phone, anything, check it out, peaksofhealth.com. So much information on there. Give them a call, 727-826-0838. If you give them a call, you're going to get a free 15-minute consultation. Very cool offer there, 727-826-0838. And like I said, Dr. Tracy, today we're going to be talking about sleep, helping your memory, reducing inflammation, enhancing your creative side, something we all need to have. And you might ask, is there a magic pill to help with all this? And the answer would be no. All you need is good old-fashioned night's sleep. And Dr. Tracy, is that true?
Well, I mean, sleep is unbelievably important to the body. It is where we form our memory, which is why we have problems with our memory when we're not sleeping. So those all-nighters you pull to study for your exams, you usually don't do as well as if you actually grab a few hours sleep, because that's where your memory's sealed in. You know, and it's also unbelievably important for our repair system. It's where our body actually does all of its repair. It's where our immune system repairs. So again, restorative sleep is there for a reason. You know, it's how we restore our bodies to full optimal health.
We always hear how important sleep is, but we're busy. Naturally, everyone has something going on in their lives, whether you have a baby at home that wakes up in the middle of the night and you're interrupted by having to wake up and help them out, whether your kids are, you know, your teens or your young kids are sick and you wake up in the middle of the night, have to help them out, or you're just everyday work does not help you get a good night's sleep. You're just fidgeting. We hear about REM sleep. What is REM sleep?
Well, REM is called rapid eye movement sleep, and that is our deep sleep. So that is where we, again, do most of our restoration of our body, and that's where it's that deep meditative brain rest sleep. So if you're not getting into REM sleep, that's where you're going to wake up with problems with your memory. It's going to be where you wake up still tired, you know, still feeling like you didn't get rested.
When do you hit that REM sleep?
Usually around 2 to 3 hours into your sleep, and you go in and out of it, you know, and different people cycle differently. You know, I'm very, very fortunate. I sleep like a log. I mean, the dead won't wake me up half the time. But, you know, when I look at my system, because you can actually measure this, the reason I don't get that tired is because my body constantly adjusts. If I get 5 hours sleep, it automatically gets 3 hours and 20 minutes of REM sleep. If I get 7 hours sleep, it automatically gets 3 hours and 20 minutes of REM sleep. You know, so my body automatically self-adjusts. A lot of people don't have that. You know,
yeah,
same.
You're lucky. You're not like, I feel like a lot of people have trouble with that. What's a perfect amount of time to sleep? What's the ideal sleep time?
Well, in studies, they show between 7 and 9 hours. You know, that most people need a minimum of 6.5 hours sleep, preferably between 7 and 8 hours.
What if you chop it up?
Well, we did look at some studies in that, and it's better to get the full amount of sleep if you can, because again, you're going to get your REM sleep that way. When you chop it up, you're not going to get into any significant deep REM sleep. It's going to be very, you know, again, smaller amounts.
What if someone's profession, you know, it makes them get up at an ungodly hour, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and you know, you can't, when you have kids and you're busy, you can't just tell yourself to get to sleep at 6:30 at night and get your 7 hours. It's easier said than done.
It is definitely easier said than done, you know, and sometimes, you know, if we can get them to get at least 6 hours sleep, we can usually get enough REM sleep. And then if they do need to take an extra hour later on or catch up, you know, it's not the best thing to do to catch up on the weekends or when they have their time off, but if that's the only way they can do it, then let them catch up an extra hour.
Okay, so because I find myself trying to catch up. The weekends, you use that time to catch up, but try to get that 6 to 8 hour sleep on any given night, correct?
Yeah, try to get at least a minimum of 6 hours if you can. But, you know, the body, it's shown, needs about 6.5 to 8 hours.
All right, so like we've been talking about, we're all busy. It's, you know, we're always in that extra gear moving, constantly busy. How do you prepare for that night's sleep?
Well, again, you want to turn around and be able to shut the system down at nighttime. Most of the people, the reason they can't sleep is they're running high gear, and then they think they're going to hop into bed and shut everything off immediately. It's not going to happen. You know, you wind the day down a little bit, you turn around, you know, try to make sure that you get everything out of the bedroom. You know, you're not going to have the TV on, you're not going to be looking at your iPad. Light has a tendency to shut off the hormones of sleep. You know, we have a cycle of sleep. It's, you know, a circadian rhythm. It's cortisol and melatonin. You know, cortisol wakes us up, melatonin puts us to sleep. And if we mess up those hormones, you know, we're going to have a hard time. So if we're revved up, our cortisols are going to be high at nighttime, and that makes adrenaline. So you're not going to be wanting to go to sleep at that point in time.
All right, so rev us down. When are we supposed to start getting ready to get your mind right? How many hours before sleep, dinner, all that
stuff?
Yeah,
usually at least 2 hours before sleep. You know, you want to start winding it down a little bit. You don't want to be in high gear. It doesn't mean you can't be doing things. You just, you know, it's not where you want to go run a marathon 2 hours before you're supposed to go to sleep. It's not going to be one where you're, you know, really doing something high activity or doing something that's unbelievably stressful that's going to stimulate you right before you go to sleep.
And you know what, though? I think a lot of the people deal with their mind. They're constantly thinking, especially at the end of the day, you're going over what do you have to do the next day, constantly stressed out. Do you have any exercises where people can relax, not so much their body, but the mind?
You can do a lot of things. You know, now we have a couple lot of tricks that we use because we know that usually that is, you know, where you have two hormones in the brain, one called glutamate that turns the brain on, and you have one called GABA that turns it off. Well, GABA is what turns it off at night so you can sleep. So we'll use things to raise that GABA if we have to, but some natural things you can do. Magnesium, again, Epsom salt baths, it calms the system down. Things like chamomile tea calms the system down. You know,
you were talking about bath salts before. So you're saying, seriously, just taking a bath, a hot bath, can relax somebody.
Yeah, it vasodilates and it relaxes the body. Magnesium is a natural muscle relaxer, so it relaxes the system. So when we have our patients take magnesium if they need it, we have it take them take it before they go to bed.
So maybe a solution, instead of taking a shower, a hot shower before bed, maybe an hour before, take a nice bath.
Yeah, you can take a bath, put some Epsom salts in there, and help relax yourself.
If you are just joining us, this is the Dr. Tracy Show, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Check out their website. Plenty of information on all the things we're talking about. Peaksofhealth.com. Give them a call as well, 727-826-0838. We've talked about weight loss and weight in previous shows. How does lack of sleep affect weight loss?
Well, again, there's been multiple studies that show that patients who don't sleep, especially nighttime shift workers, have a tendency to increase their weight. And remember, this is where you reset your clock. This is where you know your metabolism sets in. Lack of sleep actually affects hormones of your appetite. So we have one hormone called ghrelin, which is, I think of it as growling because that's what makes your stomach hungry. That actually will increase during the daytime if it doesn't get a chance to spike at nighttime where it's supposed to. And so you'll have a bigger appetite through the daytime. It also affects a hormone called leptin, and that hormone tells you to stop eating and to burn fat. And so that hormone doesn't work as well when you're not getting sleep. So again, and then your cortisol rises when you're not getting enough sleep. So these are all hormones that will actually increase your weight and, you know, cause you to eat more, have a bigger appetite, and slow your metabolism down.
Okay, now while we're talking about diet though, is there something, you know, to get yourself to sleep at night? Is there a certain food for dinner that you would recommend to kind of wind your day down?
Yeah, the couple things I don't recommend is a high sugar item. You know, you don't want to do your ice cream right before you go to bed because your sugar is going to rev you. Yeah, multiple sodas, high sugars. And you certainly don't want to do a lot of alcohol before you go to bed because alcohol is one of these things that will actually affect your sleep system.
That's interesting, though, because a lot of people would think that maybe a glass of wine will get you a little, you know, drowsy. At least it does to me. One glass of wine, one glass of beer, I feel a little more relaxed. So, but you're saying that that's not a good help?
Well, it helps you relax and helps you get to sleep, but you have a tendency to wake up. You know, mm-hmm. What alcohol does is it drops your sugar while you're sleeping, so your body will wake itself up. So you'll be losing some of the sleep because you'll be actually waking right during your REM sleep, and it prevents you from getting into REM sleep.
I think a lot of people today, especially in this society, like to think, okay, I'm having trouble sleeping. Medication. I'm going to medicate myself. Is that the answer?
Not always. And again, one of the things we find is most of the medications, alcohol is one of the number one medications they use. They self-medicate.
Naturally.
If they want to try something, I usually tell them just to try something as simple as melatonin. You know, melatonin is the natural hormone of sleep. And when we are revved up and we're high stressed, we actually have less of it. You know, you do need to make sure it's high quality pharmaceutical grade, because a lot of the over-the-counters my patients say don't work for them. When we give them a pharmaceutical melatonin, it actually is quite effective.
How do you get that?
You know, you can get a good quality pharmaceutical grade melatonin. You know, we use quite a few different company products. You just, you know, have to make sure that it does say pharmaceutical grade on the bottle.
And we also say everything in moderation. So what's the proper moderation when it comes to this?
Well, average normal doses that are very safe are between 1 and 3 milligrams, because that's what your body normally makes between those levels. I usually have patients start with 1 milligram. One of the other things you can get over the counter is something called L-theanine. I love L-theanine. It increases GABA, which is one of the hormones we were talking about, to settle the brain down. And it also stops that chatter in your brain when you can't shut your brain down.
You mean always?
Yeah, it does. You know, if that's happening, that's one of the things we use. You know, funny thing is, one of the things that, you know, in our women that are going to perimenopause and postmenopause, they get brain chatter because they're lacking a hormone called progesterone. And that hormone I call female Valium. But, you know, it's what calms the brain down and hits the GABA. So L-theanine helps with that chatter in the brain on those patients.
So there are certain supplements that you can take that can help you go to sleep that aren't, like you said, the version, female version of Valium. A Valium is something you always hear people go out there and get to help them go to sleep. But there are certain ways, obviously, to grab supplements that aren't going to be as maybe addictive.
Yeah, what Valium does, it's part of what we call a family called benzodiazepines. And what they do is they do upregulate GABA, but they do it also eventually by downregulating its receptor site. So you actually become addicted to them because, you know, you're affecting that receptor site and you can't get off of them, because then you can't get to sleep without them. And it's very, very difficult to get somebody off of one of those that's sleeping with it. You know, eventually we can, but it takes a long time because we have to fix the receptor then.
And that's an interesting conversation that we're going to get into in the next segment, because I'm sure many people listening are on some type of prescription pill or medicine that will get them to sleep. So we'll continue that conversation talking about sleep and how important it is and how it affects your daily life on the Dr. Tracy Show. More on that next. Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy, having a fantastic weekend. As always, I always implore you to check out the website, peaksofhealth.com. I'm looking at it right now. Plenty of information, not only on Dr. Tracy. You can get to know a little bit about her and see what she's been through the last her whole life. You can also see some different tabs on thyroid, weight loss, diabetes, everything Dr. Tracy can help you with. And more. Give them a call as well, 727-826-0838. They'll give you a free 15-minute consultation. Go ahead and give them a call. Today's conversation is about sleep, how important those extra Z's are to someone's life and how they can live a great life. And we were talking about prescription medicines before and how today we see it all the time. Somebody will medicate themselves with whether it be Valium, Xanax. What was the class called again?
Well, they're benzodiazepines, and which are going to be your Xanax, your Ativan, your Valium. You know, so there's a huge class of that. And then you have the class of what we call sedative hypnotics. That's going to be your Ambien, your Lunesta, that category.
All stuff I'm sure if you are not on, you've heard about before. Now, I think it's a huge problem that you hear a lot of people, not that they're medicating themselves or being medicated with this, the over-medication, over-medicating yourself and not knowing when it's taken over, when you've maybe become addicted to it. Why is it important to make sure you're taking the proper supplements?
Well, again, when you're taking these medications, one of the things that's interesting about, you know, the category of Ambien and Lunesta is one of the problems is that these people can get up and sleepwalk. They can get up and eat in the middle of the night. If you think about that, they're not really, you know, they're sleepwalking. Their bodies are technically asleep, but their brains are not. And this is what we find with a lot of the medications. One of the most common ones is an antihistamine called Benadryl. You know, we used to use this in the hospitals all the time on our elderly patients. We gave them Benadryl to make them sleep because that's a side effect of it. But they never felt rested because their bodies went to sleep, but their brains did not.
And I have friends who'll do that. They'll take Benadryl at night, not because they're sick or anything, just because they know it will help them get to sleep. They've had a high stress day and they just want to get to bed.
Yeah, and a lot of times they'll wake up with the, what we call the Benadryl hangover. And it's not because the medication's still in their body, because the half-life is gone. It's just because the brain never really got any rest, so they still felt tired the next day.
I think that's a common misconception. You think you maybe take one of these sleeping pills and you'll get the rest you need. Now, will they prevent you from getting that REM sleep that we talked about earlier?
Oh, exactly. If the brain doesn't go to sleep, it doesn't go into REM sleep. You know, so again, you know, we got to the first thing I ask the patient when they're on one of these medications is, do they feel good during the daytime? Do they feel rested? Do they feel restored? Are they functioning? You know, is their brain functioning? Are they having memory issues? You know, are they falling asleep during the daytime and being tired? If that's the case, then they're not getting proper sleep.
Alternatives. What are some alternative medicines or supplements you can take so you don't have to go out there and take some of the things we were just talking about?
Yeah, we use a lot of things. As I said, we use L-theanine, we use magnesium, we'll use melatonin. We also use things like cavanase. Cavanase is a pre-GABA. So basically it goes into the system and makes more GABA if they're low in it.
What's GABA? Sounds fun, but I'm sure it's not.
GABA is the chemical or neurotransmitter in the brain. Neurotransmitters are steroids, basically your hormones to the brain. And that is what shuts your brain off. So it's what closes it down for the night and lets it get its rest.
You
need the GABA to get some rest. So when you're looking at all of these medications, that's what they're working on. They're working on GABA. Now, there is no one called Bensoma people have heard about. They've heard about this, the cute commercial with the cat and the dog, the sleep-wake one.
Clearly got to you.
Yeah, actually, I really like the commercial. But this one works on a hormone called Orexa.
Okay.
You know, and this is a hormone that's been associated with narcolepsy. So they did realize, and they've been working on this for a long time, we knew it was coming about 10 or 15 years ago, that they finally found one that can actually work on that hormone for sleep and wake. And so that's just if someone has problems with that particular system.
You've named a couple supplements. How do you choose the right supplement? A good one.
Yeah, well, we usually start a session with something basic. We start giving them, magnesium at nighttime, a little bit of calcium at nighttime. We start changing their sleep habits. If they're, if they're eating high carbohydrate meals at nighttime, we change that. If they have the television on before they go to bed, interestingly enough, when you go into your REM sleep, you start blinking your eyes. That's why it's called rapid eye movement.
Which I always find very disturbing when I see one of my friends blinking their eyes.
When that's happening, though, if there's light in that room, meaning you left the lights on, you have the television on, you will wake up. Because it shuts off melatonin. And melatonin is the hormone that tells your brain to go to sleep. So if you shut it off, you wake up. So the same thing, it's, making sure they don't have those lights on the room, making sure, if they're sensitive to it, the temperature of the room is okay. They're not hot. It's all that, definite prep time. And then, of course, if we need to use medications, we start with, the magnesium and the melatonin. We just move forward from there. If we still can't, then we'll actually start measuring levels of their neurotransmitters. We'll start measuring GABA. We'll see if they're low. We'll see if they have high glutamate that we have to shut that system down with.
If you start taking something like a melatonin, if you start taking that, are you always going to have to take it the rest of your life to get that solid sleep?
Well, it depends. If your body is under a lot of stress and you're under a lot of stress, you're going to shut off your production. So if you've shut off your production, you're probably going to have to replace it. The same way, but if you change your habits, or you change the stressful situation, then it probably won't be something you have to take all the time. Some people may only have to take it to replenish their, deficiency, because you can measure melatonin too, and you can see if the person is deficient in melatonin.
Is it important to kind of get into that routine? We talked about making sure you get the proper amount of sleep, but could you help get that extra rest by maybe making it a routine, getting into bed at the same time every night, keeping that diet pretty similar, every day in and day out? How important is a routine?
The routine is really important for sleep when someone's having issues with sleep, because again, they need to set that clock. A lot of times we find that, our internal clock has been offset. And, a lot of people with, stress is a biggie, or whether it's be emotional stress, chronic stress, physical stress, those things are big, deals with the body. Because again, if you're raising that cortisol at nighttime, it raises adrenaline, so it's very difficult to shut that body down at that point. And, one of the things I always do is let's find out why you're not sleeping. It can be something as simple as a vitamin B2 deficiency will cause insomnia. So if we can correct the underlying problem, then we can correct the system. Men with low testosterone have trouble sleeping. We replace their testosterone and they sleep like babies.
Yeah.
There
are ways to help.
Women with low progesterone, they have trouble sleeping. We replace their progesterone and they sleep really well. So if we fix the reason they're not sleeping, then they don't need the medications.
If you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, something like that, and you just find yourself lethargic during the day, what are ways to help get yourself right where you're in that proper routine?
Well, again, it does start with your habits, your eating and your sleeping habits. If they're not sleeping, we have to get them sleeping, because we're not going to get somebody to be energetic during the daytime, no matter what we do, if they're not resting their body. You know, again, interesting study on immune system, because these are the patients who are going to get sick more often or higher risk for cancers and things. They did a study on healthy college kids, and these are 20-year-olds with perfectly health. 2 days of no sleep, 30% loss of their actual immune system.
Sleep is so important, and we're learning so much about it today with Dr. Tracy. We're going to continue that conversation on why sleep's important, different medications you can take to help you with the sleep, and I want to get into naps. I love naps, so a good nap is always great. We'll get into that. More on sleep and why it's important on the Dr. Tracy Show next. Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show. Hope you're all having a great weekend. We are having a great time here on a beautiful Sunday. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Peaksofhealth.com is the website. Check it out. Plenty of information on everything we're talking about today and more. Anything you've heard on this show in previous weeks, you can definitely get all that information and more on the website. Give them a call as well, 727-826-0838. That's 727-826-0838. 15-minute consultation for free. So go ahead and give him a call. Dr. Tracy helps with everything from hormone therapy, diabetes, thyroid, environmental toxins, Lyme disease, weight loss, chronic fatigue. If you're tired, Dr. Tracy can help you. And today we're talking about just that, being tired and sleep, and how important sleep is to you. And we were talking before about how important a REM sleep is, getting that 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. What if you get that 8 hours and in the day you're still a little tired? Is it important to get that nap?
Well, I mean, again, you can get a power nap. You know, people can recharge really quickly in 15, 20-minute power naps. You know, you get into a little bit long where you take, you know, an hour and a half nap. As you were saying earlier, you know, you don't feel good afterwards. And a lot of that's because you just started REM sleep and you're breaking it right at that moment in time.
Now, this is where, and you'll hear me do this from time to time, this is where I make my Seinfeld reference, because everything in life to me relates to Seinfeld. So there was the episode where Kramer, and I'm sure if you've watched it, you know what I'm talking about, he sleeps in increments. You know, he'll think if he can get 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, and he doesn't have to get that 8 hours sleep. He'll just constantly set that alarm and get those incremental sleeps. Can you get rest off a 15-minute sleep?
You can recharge off a 15-minute sleep, you know, with a power nap. Can you get, you know, your rest where what your body requires instead of actually sleeping at nighttime? No. I mean, you have to hit that restorative sleep in order to restore your body's function.
So the 15 minutes can be good as long as you get that 6 to 8 hours.
Exactly.
Because I find that if I'll take a 30-minute nap, I'll feel more recharged and better for the day than if I take an hour and a half nap, something that's a little more extensive. Then I'll just feel very tired for the rest of the day.
Well, part of the reason for that is, you know, again, for this power nap, the reason it works is your body's running out of ATP or energy. So you're allowing it to recharge its cycle, so to speak. So you're kind of recharging the batteries. So then you wake up and you're, you know, already ready to go. You turn around and start extending that and taking longer periods, and then you wake yourself up in the middle of that. You've just woken yourself up. It takes about an hour and a half to get into REM. And so you just woke yourself right in your middle of restorative cycle. You're very, you know, it's like waking up in the middle of your nightmare, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, you don't feel good.
Sounds literally like an alarm going off every morning. Waking up to that alarm, that's my nightmare. But I will set my alarm early, as I'm sure a lot of people do, before they actually have to get up. They'll set their initial alarm, kind of get themselves in that process of waking up, go back to bed for a little bit, set that secondary alarm, and get up. Is that bad for you?
Well, again, you know, most people, if they, you know, have gotten full restorative sleep, when that first alarm goes off, they're ready to go. You know, if they've gotten enough sleep. You know, one of the ones who has not and their body's still like wanting more restorative, they'll sleep through that alarm, or they'll click the snooze button, or the multiple snooze. I call it, you know, that, you know, time sequence where it's like all of a sudden the time just flew by. You know, you shut it off at 8 o'clock, next thing you know, it's 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And it's just like, what happened?
Yep. All five alarms of mine, and the quadruple snooze is what I call it. I hit the quadruple snooze. Now, what can cause these bad sleep issues? We hit on a couple before. What can cause them?
Well, again, there's a lot of different causes. One of the first things we look at is patients' medications. You know, patients can be on a lot of medications that can actually affect their sleep cycles, you know, or caffeine. You know, people who take in a lot of caffeine, they can be a small amount in the morning or evening, depending on how they are affected by it. But again, if they're taking stimulants, you know, we have a lot of patients that are on weight loss programs that use appetite suppressants that are stimulants, and they may affect their, you know, appetite or if they're on medications for ADD that are stimulants.
Which we're not telling you to get off of those, but one of the ways, like let's say you are on an ADD medication, or you like your coffee in the middle of the day, or even a cup of coffee at night, how many hours before you go to sleep should you really start laying off the caffeine?
Well, with caffeine, you should start laying off of it by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know,
that early?
That early. So after that, it preferably should be more towards decaf. You know, but some people, again, are not affected by it, or they don't think they're affected by it. You know, they can go to sleep. They may not get as well rested, though, because their brain will still be a little active. People taking cold medicine sometimes, you know, especially if you have that hack and cough and you can't sleep all night long, you dose yourself with this cold medicine that can actually affect your sleep cycles. You know, so again, that plays an important role, because think about it. When you're sick, if you can get a really good night's sleep for a night or two, you get better much faster than if you're not sleeping. It just lingers.
Yeah.
And it's much harder to get, you know, better, quicker.
Do you suggest that someone take one of these prescription pills or a supplement? What do you suggest people do, even if their sleep isn't that bad, maybe just to help them get the proper sleep they need?
Well, again, if somebody has trouble getting to sleep, you know, we'll use, you know, a sublingual melatonin just to kind of get them down. You know, if somebody has trouble staying asleep, lots of times we'll use something that, you know, is more controlled release. But at the same time, we want to know why they're having trouble sleeping. You know, is it hormonal? Is it medication? Is it habits? Is it because, you know, they're under stress? And again, stress is a big one, because stress, you know, raises cortisol, and that lowers melatonin. That's why we use melatonin as a first line medication. But we do start measuring and finding out why at the same time.
Peaksofhealth.com. Check out their website, and you can talk to Dr. Tracy. Give them a call, 727-826-0838, and you can visit them. Their facility is awesome. Now, you talked about testing. How do you guys personally test for someone's sleep?
Well, again, if somebody tells me they're not sleeping, the first thing we're going to look for is their medication list, what they're doing, what they're eating, and then we're going to measure their hormones. You know, we're going to look at their thyroid, because if their thyroid's off, they can have trouble sleeping. We're going to look at female pregnenolone and progesterone levels, male pregnenolone and testosterone levels. We're going to look at their cortisol levels and see if they're high at nighttime, and then we'll see what their melatonin levels are. So we're going to look for all those hormones that tell us what should be going on sleep-wise.
So you don't have to sit in their bedroom and observe them for 8 hours while they sleep. There are other ways to do this.
No. I mean, we do sleep studies on some of our patients. They're in a controlled facility, but that's our patients that snore a lot. So we're going to look to see if they have sleep apnea, because sleep apnea is another big one where you're losing your oxygen in your sleep. So you're actually literally starving your brain of oxygen while you're sleeping, because you're stopped breathing.
And a lot of people are affected by snoring, and some people don't even know that they snore until they maybe get a significant other or somebody they sleep with at some point that says, you snore a lot.
Yeah.
How does that affect your sleeping without even knowing it?
It heavily affects your sleeping. You're not going to get a really good night's sleep if you stop your breathing all the time and you're having to constantly kind of semi-wake your body up to sleep. And obesity is one of these huge ones that actually contributes to, you know, sleep apnea. And sometimes when we can get a patient just to lose 10, 15, 20 pounds, we can significantly change that system and how well that's working.
Let's talk about long-term effects of lack of sleep. What are the long-term effects?
Well, again, it depends on the cause of lack of sleep. You know, as we were talking about with sleep apnea, high blood pressure, you know, dementia, because you're starving the brain of oxygen, increased risk of heart disease, increased risks of strokes. You know, you're going to have long-term effects. You know, most people, again, lack of sleep is a really significant precursor to diabetes that we talked about. You know, dementia is a biggie, because if the brain is not fully functional, you're going to have a lot of memory issues, car accidents, a lot more car accidents. So, you know, a lot of people having, you know, injuries and things like that because they're fatigued and they're not paying attention and not focused.
Let's say you're listening and this is a problem for you and you can't help it. You get lack of sleep because your job permits it. You be up at an early hour and it's just tough for you to get to sleep. Let's say they get on a good sleeping regimen. Can they turn around these, anything that's going on, can they reverse these effects?
Yeah, a lot of the effects are definitely reversible. You know, almost the body is an amazing restorative machine. You know, and if you correct the problem, a lot of the long-term effects correct. You know, somebody who has sleep apnea, we put them on a CPAP machine. It's amazing how quickly their body starts turning around and you start controlling their blood pressures and everything else. You know, somebody who's not sleeping, it's amazing how much better their immune system will recover much quicker. It's amazing how much better their memory will start recovering much quicker, you know, when they start getting the proper nutrition, the proper oxygenation of their body.
And it's important. You get, like you're saying, you get the proper sleep and your life is going to see improvements.
Significantly, you know. And again, this is one of the things we actually in our initial questionnaire, we have this, you know, 7-page, you know, form that patients fill out. But it's, you know, mainly because I want all that information. I ask them how they're exercising. I ask them how they're sleeping, because these play an important role. They're coming to me because they're tired and fatigued, and here they're sleeping 3 hours a night. Well, you know, it's kind of obvious that if I don't get you sleeping better, I'm not going to improve your fatigue no matter what I do.
When you get older, do you need more sleep or less sleep?
Well, technically, the hormone shift in the body requires a little bit of less sleep. But, you know, I think physically they need more sleep, but their brains will only sleep less. So you'll notice, you know, especially Alzheimer's patients, they'll be up in the middle of the night all the time, you know, but their brain technically needs more sleep. But the physical hormones, the way they shift, their bodies will sleep less. So you'll notice the elderly patients getting less and less sleep because of their hormone regimen. But when we correct those hormones, they'll actually start getting proper sleep. And it's amazing how much better they'll start doing.
So if you see them taking that nap or maybe dozing off, if you see an elderly patient dozing off in the middle of the day, that nap, it's actually probably not natural.
No, but that nap's probably good for them because they will break up a little bit of their sleep because of their hormones. However, you know, again, if they're tired all the time and fatigued all the time and sleeping, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours, you know, at shots, you know, especially you'll see a lot of elderly patients sleep during the daytime as opposed to nighttime.
What about exercise? We say how important it is, but before you go to sleep, can it actually harm and affect your sleep in a negative way if you exercise too close to when you're supposed to go to bed?
It depends on which exercise you're doing. Again, if you're doing, you know, a marathon or you're doing a sprint right before you go to bed, you're probably going to stimulate your system.
Putting your heart rate up too much.
But if you're doing, you know, yoga or you're doing Pilates, something more, you know, Tai Chi, something more relaxing is very good for you. And again, each person's individual. If I find that person with really high cortisol at nighttime, I'll tell them to go exercise, burn it off.
Interesting.
You know, but if I see somebody with really low cortisol at nighttime, I don't want them to stimulate their cortisol. But if they're really high, I'll be like, okay, go ahead and do that. Burn it off. Get rid of it.
Interesting. Everybody's different and some very interesting stuff there. Check out their website, peaksofhealth.com. And if you have a question for Dr. Tracy, give him a call, 727-826-0838. That's 727-826-0838. You'll get a free 15-minute consultation. Go ahead, check their website out. And once again, for people that want to come by and stop by, maybe put a face to the voice, where can they find you guys?
It's 1120 Belcher Road South in Largo, and we're right between East Bay and Almerton.
A beautiful facility. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation on sleep and how important it is to you. Also, we'll have an in-the-news story, as we always like to do here on the Dr. Tracy Show, next. Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show. Hope you're all having a great weekend. As I always tell you, because we're always having a great weekend in here, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. And today we're talking about something that's extremely important, sleep, your sleep patterns, what can affect a good sleep and a bad sleep. Check out their website as well for any information that we talk about, peaksofhealth.com. And give them a call, 727-826-0838. You'll get a free 15-minute consultation. Free 15-minute consultation. You should take advantage of that. 727-826-0838. And we're wrapping up this conversation on sleep and how important it is for you. Insomnia, something a lot of people deal with. Instead of just going out and medicating yourself, what are some ways to improve your sleeping status without the medication?
Well, again, the biggest thing is find out why the person isn't sleeping. Is it the fact that they're just temporarily stressed out? Or is it the fact that, you know, their appetite or their eating habits have gone up? Did they start becoming diabetic? You know, what is going on? Find out the reason and the cause and correct that rather than just going for a drug.
And when you attack that, what do you guys look for the reasons and the cause? What's the first thing you look for?
First thing I look for is habit and what they're doing. You know, are they having lights in the rooms? You know, is it just a temporary stressful situation? You know, that's something easy to fix. You know, if they're under a lot of stress, we just, again, melatonin is one of the biggest things that we use because that gets depleted under stress. So it might just be a temporary thing. But if it prolongs and it stays there, we're going to look depth, you know, really deep into that system to find out what's happening and fixing it.
Opposite view, what if somebody comes in and they're already medicating themselves, they're giving themselves melatonin, maybe they're taking something like a Valium or something under that family, and they're still not getting the sleep? What do? Do you look elsewhere? Do you get them off that medication? Do you up the dosage of the medication?
We start looking for the underlying cause right away. We'll start running, you know, the lab tests. We'll start looking at those hormone levels. We'll start looking at the chemistry of the brain to find out what's going on in there that's causing them to be unable to sleep and shut it off.
And everyone's different.
Everyone is different. And, you know, as I said, we had one patient that it turned out to be a vitamin B2 deficiency. It took us a little while to find it because it's not the first thing I go to. But, you know, when we start running their nutrient levels and finding out what they're deficient in, that will cause insomnia. You give them a B complex and boom, they're better.
And it's so important to make sure we always say everything in moderation. And if, even if you're putting them on melatonin, moderation. But don't just self-medicate. Go in, see Dr. Tracy. Give her a call. Check out. Do your research. Do your due diligence before you just start medicating yourself.
Well, exactly. You don't want to, you know, the first thing you don't want to do is just go to a sleeping pill. You want to find out what is causing the problem and then trying to fix it. You know, I'm not saying you don't, you know, some people don't need the sleeping pills. But, you know, at least at the same time, try to find the underlying reason.
Is there always a solution? Is there a fix to insomnia, or are just some people just broken?
Well, I mean, sometimes it takes a long time because you have to find out what's causing it. But, you know, when those chemicals and all those, you know, hormones go awry, there's usually always a reason, you know. But it does sometimes take some time to find the exact, you know, formulation that that person needs to kind of correct all that imbalance.
You should check their website out. I'm on it right now, peaksofhealth.com. There's so much great information. And you can call them as well if you want to hear more about this or you have questions about your sleep patterns and you want some answers. Give them a call, 727-826-0. You're going to get a free 15-minute consultation. Take advantage of it. If we've piqued your interest today and we've talked about something that affects you, lack of sleep, you take advantage of that free 15-minute consultation, 727-826-0838. We always love to do our In the News segment. What's our In the News segment about today?
Well, we're going to do an article on omega-3 status and cognitive decline because we've been talking about this, including with sleep and with, you know, fatty acids last week, that, you know, and diabetes, you know, so we're really looking at, you know, what can cause that cognitive decline. And one of the things I knew in my Alzheimer's patients and my patients that were having memory loss, we always looked at, you know, vitamin B12. This article was showing that without proper omega-3s, that the B12 would not hook into the brain properly and do its job, so that it was inefficient. So, you know, that was really interesting because it's the first time we've actually seen that you need that fatty acid with the B12 when we're talking about cognitive decline in that combination in order to get it to be effective.
And we've talked about this before, fatty acids, omegas. Let's go over it again. Omegas, what's important? What can you get out there type of omegas to help you?
Well, in this particular article, we're talking about omega-3 specifically. And, you know, again, the same thing when we're talking about any of the fatty acids. You want to make sure you get a pharmaceutical grade omega-3. You want to make sure you get a high quality version because the contaminants that are found in a lot of these products. You know, but with this particular article, what it was saying was, you know, with brain atrophy and cognitive decline, we found that you needed not only that B12, which we've always known be highly effective in brain function and energy, but that you needed the DHA, which is the part of that omega-3 that we're using, to get it to actually hit the receptor site.
If you're a parent out there and you're dealing with these issues yourself and you're fixing them, you're correcting them, but you want to get your kid ahead of the game, should you get your kid on these omegas now?
Well, again, we've always noticed that, you know, DHA is very, very important for brain health and brain function, you know, and they've shown significant increase in IQ in children. That's one of the reasons why they give pregnant women fish oil in order to turn around and increase that. Well, what we also know is if you look at formula, DHA is present in formula. You know, there's a reason for that because they're trying to increase brain health in those children. You know, we just stopped formula about 8 to 12 months out. So again, getting your child on a form of omegas at that age is very, very healthy for them.
And vitamins as well at some point?
A multivitamin is actually quite good, you know, and the reason we do that is, again, our nutritional status in our food is so depleted that we don't get the same nutrition we used to. It takes us 4 times the amount of food today to get the nutrition we did 40 years ago out of the same food. So with that, we'd have to eat 4 times the amount of food, which is one of the reasons why we do get obese, because we don't get satisfied with the food we eat because we're not getting the proper nutrition out of it.
Now, just to wrap up our conversation on sleep, melatonin seems to be somewhat of your go-to. If someone out there is listening right now and they don't have time to go on any website or anything or go visit you, give you a call, what's your first recommendation right now to help get them improve their sleep?
I would try a 1 milligram sublingual melatonin, you know, and again, first thing line therapy is not drinking caffeine at night, making sure the room is dark, taking a little bit of magnesium before you go to bed, you know, not eating a high sugary meal before you go to bed or having that Coke before you go to bed, you know, so start with those things. But if you do need something because for short term something's been going on, just a simple melatonin.
And maybe change the pillow. Don't use a feather pillow.
Yeah, get a very comfortable pillow. Make sure the temperature in the room is adequate. You know, don't be really hot.
Comfort's key. At least that's how I like to live my life. Dr. Tracy, also always a great conversation with you. Today, a great show on sleep and how to improve your sleep and how important sleep is to you. Thank you so much, Dr. Tracy.
You're welcome.
Everyone have a fantastic week on the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson, Dr. Tracy, have fun.